Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Here we are, Tuesday, middle of March, March 15th, 2022. Our 12th year now on the radio, 34th year in the television and radio market in Tucson, our program on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we get the live feed not only on my website, but from kvoi.com, and we have a very extensive archive going back to the first week of January 2011 when we launched our radio project. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line with congressional candidate, Democrat Kirsten Engel is with us, former state lawmaker, an environmental attorney. In fact, Kirsten is the Charles E. Ayers Professor of Law at the James E. Rogers College of Law, the University of Arizona, where she teaches and researches in the areas of environmental and administrative law. Kirsten, how are you?
I am fine, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's circle around here. We haven't talked to you since, I think, the early days of when you first announced. So that's at least 6 to 8 months ago. How is the campaign going?
It's going great. I think people are really starting to pay attention and realizing that we've got an election just a few months away. And campaign has been going great. The endorsements have been rolling in. Very excited to announce that we just received Congressman Grijalva's endorsement. And that adds to both the current and former mayor of Tucson, both Mayor Romero and Mayor Rothschild, League of Conservation Voters, UFCW, Elect Democratic Women, a group of really great congressional women. So I'm just very pleased. I think people are really interested in this campaign and are really excited about what I'm saying to folks.
And for those who have not been following these redistrict and the newly redrawn lines, you're running in the newly redrawn, what is now called Arizona's 6th congressional district in the 2022 election. This would be the old CD2. And of course, Democrat Ann Kirkpatrick has decided not to stand for re-election. Thus, this becomes an open seat. How different is this, the old CD2, with the CD6, the lines? Could you kind of give our listeners an overview on that?
Sure, sure. So the district has changed as a result of redistricting. It is larger. In a lot of ways, it's gone back to the lines as they were when Gabby Giffords represented this district. So it's now pushed out into areas that over the last 10 years, Congressman O'Halloran has represented. So now includes Marana, Oro Valley, Saddlebrook, and actually goes all the way up and includes actually part of Casa Grande.
So it really
it
becomes more of a Metro Tucson area inclusive, because that was always kind of weird with O'Halloran's district, district number one, sort of the northwest part of the Tucson metro area, part of district one. So this kind of brings it more as a cohesive area, doesn't it?
It does. It's a bit larger. It's cohesive, but there's also been a few sort of oddities. It's taken out of a chunk of central Tucson in the Midtown area. It took out a couple border communities that had been part of the district. Douglas and Bisbee are now out. So, it makes sense in certain ways, but in others, I have to say, it's kind of chopped things up, too.
What's at the top?
One thing is...
Go ahead.
Yeah. It is a very competitive district at this point. So very, very close in terms of the split between the parties.
Yeah, that is a very important point. I was going to make sure that was included, that it's very competitive. Let's talk about the war in Europe. And if you were to win this race and go back to D.C., if you were now a sitting congressperson, what would you be advocating as far as the United States' position in the war?
Well, I have to say, I do think that the Biden administration has been doing the right thing in terms of really cracking down on sanctions against Russia. I mean, this is just such an outrage, this unprovoked attack that is really of concern. And I do think that the sanctions are having an impact. Banning imports of Russian oil and energy products into the U.S., I think that's a very good move. We know that Putin has fueled his war machine off of his sales of oil and gas. And, you know, cutting him off at the knees by shutting that down, I think, is one of the most effective things that we can do. As much as possible, really isolating Putin, I think that is the way to go. And at the same time, you know, here in the U.S., I do think that we have to be sensitive to, you know, the increased price at the gas pump that people are seeing, you know, this on top of inflation. You know, it's really hitting low-income families very hard. So, you know, doing what we can to alleviate, you know, this hit to their, you know, pocketbooks, I think is really important. So doing more on that, you know, I do support Senator Kelly's bill to, have a holiday on the federal gas tax. I think that'll help. And, you know, we should also be looking into, you know, are these some of these price spikes that we're seeing, are they really due to the war in Ukraine, or, you know, is the oil industry trying to take advantage of this situation? Concerned about that.
What issues would you like our listeners to know? What's your platform? What are a couple of your marquee issues, Kirsten Engel?
Well, first and foremost, you know, it is just such fabulous news that we got that infrastructure bill passed. And, you know, the Democrats really were able to do that. And that was something that the Trump administration had been trying to do for, you know, its whole time in office and wasn't able to get done. So we got that done. And now that there are those funds, you know, one of my top priorities is making sure that we get that money into Arizona and that we put it towards the things that we really could use, that could really help to jumpstart our economy here. You know, not only, you know, investing it in transportation, but also making sure we get those dollars into digital broadband. You know, high speed internet will help out so much, especially things like really connecting our rural areas of this district with, you know, healthcare, telemedicine, cleaning up our groundwater. You know, we've got groundwater contamination in several different places in this district with that PFOS chemicals. I think that is super important. Getting this charging infrastructure in place so that we can transition from the use of fossil fuels that responds to this, you know, climate change, as well as we now know, you know, our reliance on fossil fuels is really a security risk for all of us. So those, you know, getting that infrastructure money, investing in it, things that are really going to make a difference to people, that's number one. Number two, working on our water issues, you know, working so that we have a secure water future. You know, it really should be a wake-up call to folks that we are in a, you know, shortage on the Colorado River. So we cannot rely on that like we have been. But there's so many things that we can do to conserve our water, use it, you know, reuse our water, you know, use drip irrigation, shade our crops. There's lots of ways that we can be using our water more smartly and more efficiently. So infrastructure, water, and then finally, you know, lowering the cost of healthcare. You know, folks in Arizona and across the country are still paying way too much money on healthcare, especially things like prescription drugs. So, you know, major cause of death and disease in this country, you know, heart conditions, cancer, and the drugs to treat these are just getting more expensive. So giving Medicare that power to negotiate the price of prescription drugs and bringing down those costs, which will actually, you know, affect not only people on Medicare, but throughout the whole economy, I think will really help a great deal.
All right.
So those are first and foremost. Of course, there's all kinds of other things that we
sure.
need to do, but those will be my priorities.
And your website is?
www.angleforarizona.com.
All right.
And
go ahead.
Angle is spelled E-N-G-E-L.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Good catching up with you. Stay safe. Thanks a lot, Kirsten.
Okay, you too. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Kirsten Engel, candidate, Democrat in Arizona's newly redrawn District Number 6, Congressional District Number 6 in the 2022 upcoming midterm election. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio. Two thumbs up. But before we get to Shelley, I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. I'm always ready and willing, and so is Shelley, not only willing but anxious to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery because we love good pastries. And Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. They're open right now for lunch. Lunch crowd has really been picking up, and there's so many great sandwiches that they have available, including my favorite. They'll do a really, really good tuna melt with provolone cheese that is outstanding. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. They are located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They open for breakfast, 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Sunday. And, of course, they're open right now for lunch. We'll be back with Shelley Fishman right after this. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman, and it's always a pleasure to welcome you, Shelley. It's Tuesday at 12:20. That means Shelley Fishman. And normally, well, you know, Tuesdays are kind of a tough day, but this looks pretty good today.
Today is as good as it gets. We've got the Dow up almost 600 points.
I'll take
so
that.
So if we wind up the day between a point and a half and 2 points higher on all of the indices, it will have been a really nice day. And we need a really nice day in the markets.
One thing we've talked about over the years, kind of the purpose of a corporation, the obligation of the people that run a corporation, what kind of obligations do they have to their stakeholders?
Well, that's a great question, Bill. We've talked about that. In fact, one day when you were on vacation, I had the former mayor in here discussing a corporation's responsibilities to local governments and vice versa, the local government's responsibilities.
I remember that. That was a good discussion with the former mayor, Jonathan Rothschild.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, a little background here. Since 1970, the Milton Friedman doctrine was that corporations only have one responsibility, and that is to their shareholders, and that responsibility within the framework of the law governing their conduct is to make money. Period. End of story. That's it. That's all you do. That's what you do for a living. And for almost, 50 years, that was the rule that corporations lived by. And CEOs knew that if they were taken to court or sued or whatever, they could defend themselves based upon that doctrine. 2 years ago, the Business Roundtable said, not so fast. You really have other stakeholders that you need to be responsible to, and that responsibility is an equal responsibility to those stakeholders as it is to your shareholders. And those stakeholders are your customers, your employees, your suppliers, and the community in which you work, as well, and they list it last of those five, as well as your shareholders. Now, when we put this in the framework, Bill, of what's going on in Europe in the European war with Russian attack on Ukraine, and the number of companies that have backed out of doing business in Russia in excess of what the sanctions would have required them to do.
And quickly, too.
And
They lined up very quickly.
Right. So it raises a question.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, should the leaders of corporations be the arbiters of morality?
Mm-hmm.
Under the guise of, the community that we do business with is defined as a city and a state and a country, but it may be more than that. Maybe it's Western liberalism, and that's really kind of pushing that definition. Now, let me say, I love what these corporations have done and backing and all of that, but serious questions need to be raised about whether or not that is a CEO's responsibility, and in fact, whether or not they're qualified to be the moral arbiters or the arbiters of morality, shouldn't they stick to their primary jobs, which is their customers, their employees, their stakeholders?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that question got raised last week at the end of the week in an article by David Von Drehl whether or not corporations' quick shunning of Russia showcases, you know, the new morality of doing business, or is it perhaps that we should question that new morality and be a little more careful? And so that's kind of got my attention because it's a subject I really enjoy discussing with
because
people.
Because by dropping business with Russia, obviously there are financial implications to a corporation's stakeholders.
And you know, their customers, their employees, their suppliers, their stockholders, mm-hmm. all of these stakeholder groups are going to be affected by having their businesses circumscribed and reduced by pulling out of a major market,
that's right.
Like Russia. So that's one thing. The other thing is to really kind of think about who you're affecting when you pull out of a market. If McDonald's shuts down its stores, or
680 of them.
600, and but those are owned
Russia.
Privately. They're, you know, by the people who run those stores.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald's sets the rules.
Sure, but their franchise
and does yeah. with their franchise mm-hmm. agreement, and does a lot of the supply chain mm-hmm. into those stores. But you know, is the war in Ukraine going to be seriously affected by, you know, somebody, you know, on the main street of Moscow not being able to get a Big Mac?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one way of looking at the problem. There's a flip side, though. And this is a very old kind of example that's used is, you know, does the rope manufacturer, should he be held responsible for lynching?
Mm-hmm.
We see that with guns
sure.
today, you know.
Right.
Does the gun manufacturer is responsible for the person
sure.
who gets shot with a gun manufactured by that manufacturer? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, these are discussion items, and clearly, in the case of gun manufacturers, if they're actively promoting their weapons, then maybe you do hold them responsible for what happens with those weapons. You know, a gun is an instrument of murder. A gun is an instrument that is intended to harm something or someone. A rope, I don't know. A burger, I don't know. And so these are, you know, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? It is, you know, it's some of these esoteric questions. But we've had so many companies now jumping onto this bandwagon of pulling out of Russia and trying to punish Russia for what they're doing. And believe me, I believe Russia needs to be severely punished for it. But at what point do you make that punishment limited to the people in charge of running Russia and fighting wars for Russia and leave the people on the street alone? Or do you just count on the fact that if you make life miserable for the people on the street, at some point, you know, the pitchforks will come out and you
maybe
know, Putin
they'll
will be dragged into
their
the
Hague. Government. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting question. I wonder what our listeners think about it. But I was fascinated by it, and asking those questions right in the middle of a crisis struck me as you know, particularly useful as a discussion point.
Well, there are the moral implications of that, and I wonder if that's something that is more of a something that we've just seen over the last couple of years, because there is that thinking that your only obligation is to make money. You wonder if this had happened 10 years ago, whether there would have been such a quick
that's
response.
That's a really great question. I mean, we know mm-hmm. that corporations have had an effect in their communities when laws have been passed in the community
mm-hmm.
that was seen by the corporation to just be unacceptable.
Yes.
Anti-gay laws, for instance, or mm-hmm. That affected both Indiana. We've seen voting restrictions, voting rights restrictions affect the corporations in Georgia. In fact, you know, Major League Baseball pulled out of the Georgia market for that kind of reason. But it does raise the question of who should be the arbiter of morality. And in fact, one of the interesting things that Von Drayl talks about in his article is, and oh, by the way, when media, news broadcasters, are also arbitrating or talking about morality and making themselves the arbiters of morality, are they any more skilled or any more likely to be right necessarily in raising these questions? Interesting questions.
Very much so. Thank you very much, Shelley Fishman, and we'll look forward to your visit with us next Tuesday. Thank you,
Shelley. I look forward to it, Bill.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Think about Green Things for all of your beautiful things for the garden this spring. 13-acre site located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're open daily. They're in their 51st year of business. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. We'll pause right here, then lots to talk about with Ryan Hansen, our monthly travel talk segment, right after the break.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time for our insider travel talk with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage travel experts are ready now to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com is the website, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true, and also your first stop in learning about the upcoming Bon Voyage travel show. Ryan Hansen with us. Ryan, how are you?
Doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. And I know I'm looking forward to it, and I know you are as well. The Bon Voyage travel show is back. Last year it was virtual, but this year it's coming up in less than a month.
It is on its way, April 3rd, and we are accepting RSVPs. And you may say, why do I need RSVP? It just helps us understand the flow of traffic and how many people are coming, and then we can be prepared to make sure that you have all the documents and flyers that you might need for inspiration for travel, but also so that you know all the best offers that are going to be given to only the people that come to the show, and that's part of the showcase, is inspiration, but also great value and opportunity to save money and get extra perks.
And the attendance, is it robust, would you say, the interest in the show this year?
Yeah, last year, Bill, if you recall, we did it virtually. So this mm-hmm. is the first in-person travel showcase we've had since 2020. And we had a bursting at the seams show in 2020. And we're seeing similar type numbers at least this early out. We're still a couple of weeks away, and that's when most people start to RSVP, but we're seeing great interest, as you would expect, Bill. People are excited, and they want to get out and travel, and there's some good reasons why, with COVID policies and protocols and mandates and different countries and testing things all getting passed. I believe Omicron is in the rearview mirror when you start looking at how countries are responding globally. That's an exciting thing in the world of travel.
And the interest is certainly there. Just today, the major airlines, Ryan Hansen, reported that, speaking of using the word robust again, very robust travel bookings. There had been some questions about the first quarter, but the travel bookings for the major airlines, they're saying they're at the pre-pandemic levels that are pointing to a very good spring and certainly summer season.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that same thing with our bookings and people's, not just interest, right, Bill? They're actually making bookings. There's one caveat still out there that I believe would cause me to want to book now, and because there could be some people that are waiting, and that is the mask mandate that is currently extended through April 18th that the United States has in place. We're anticipating and we're seeing a lot of movement on Capitol Hill from the congressional members to lobby to the Biden administration and the CDC and try to pull back on that mask mandate. So if that goes away on April 18th, as some are expecting, we would expect even more people looking to book. So that flight that looks good to you now from a cost or an availability and a timing standpoint, if it looks good now, you better jump on it. Get that trip planned now with us before those availabilities become sold out.
Yeah, and there's that other issue of the fuel costs, which could tack on. So this would be another reason to buy now, because with what's going on with the uncertainty over fuel costs, that does add to the bottom line.
It absolutely adds to the airline's pricing formula. Supply and demand is always one of the first reasons. So less seats, they get to charge more. But then also just the cost of operating the airplane now that fuel is on the rise, hopefully is capping out. But that's for you and other experts to discuss on your show. You and I don't get into that stuff on the travel segment, but it creeps in, right, Bill, on some of these reasons of why should I get that plane ticket now? That cost invariably is going to increase for your summer trip if you don't book it now.
There is all sorts of news, actually, just within the last 48 hours concerning an area that you follow, of course, very closely, and that's the cruising industry. The cruise ships, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, have lowered the COVID-19 travel health notice for cruise ships. What's that all about, Ryan Hansen?
You follow the CDC, and they typically have four levels, and it's actually not just the CDC. It's you get kind of State Department levels of concern as far as it relates to travel, right? One is pretty wide open. You get up to level four, and that is supreme caution needs to be taken for a number of reasons, and the CDC weighs in on the health notices and have been, as they should be, following the cruise line space for these last couple of years very closely. And we've seen the CDC's satisfaction not only with the policies and protocols that our cruise lines have put in place and that have voluntarily remained in place to mitigate the spread, they are lowering their concerns to a level two warning. It had been at one point a level five. They're following the data and the science that's coming in of the spread that's happening or not happening is the better word on cruise ships, and have had lowered it to a level three about a month ago. Now, as of yesterday, lowered to a level two to give people more confidence in a safe environment on a cruise ship as it relates to COVID-19.
Do the cruise ships each have, does the industry, each of the lines have different protocols, Ryan Hansen, when it comes to, say, masking and vaccinations at this point?
At this point, you can pretty much follow one rule of thumb. If you want to cruise, you need to be vaccinated. The lines that we work with, which would be the major cruise lines, all require a vaccination at this point. It varies based on destination for additional protocols such as testing and masking. I would think those are the three primary buckets that travelers are looking at. What are the hurdles I have to jump over to travel? A lot now, the EU is at a place where only the Netherlands and Poland are the only EU countries that are requiring a negative COVID test if you're vaccinated for entry into their country. So cruise lines are following the country protocol. So if there's a port of call on your itinerary that would require a negative test or in their waters are requiring masking, then the cruise line will comply with that. So your question leads us to a path, Bill, that we typically get to on our calls, is the travel experts at Bon Voyage will help you understand which protocols are in place and which are not, depending on itinerary.
Well, and if you ever needed a travel professional, now is the time to navigate these waters that are so confusing in many cases. And we were talking about different levels. The Caribbean, of course, which is such a popular area for cruising, they have been changing the protocols as far as making it easier now to visit, like Puerto Rico has now dropped the requirement for vaccinations.
Yeah, so that does create a much less of a hassle. But also there could be some travelers, Bill. I think we talk about lessening of protocols, and I want to make sure you and I, we know each other's focus on this, but that the listeners understand when we're talking about lessening protocols, our excitement comes from the fact that it still remains a safe and healthy destination, that the protocols are being lowered because of a reaction to the actual data that's been followed. This isn't just a willy-nilly decision, and I know where you're coming from.
Sure.
It's excitement to open up the borders for easier travel because it is safe and healthy. That's where it starts from, not just because, well, the rules are lessening, this is great. It all comes from a place of we want travelers to be healthy and safe as they travel globally.
What about Australia and New Zealand, which were very much closed to foreign travelers?
Yeah, the New Zealand, Australia part of the world was one of the early adopters of lockdowns and remains so, as you mentioned, longer than most. The isolation situation that they're in is they started to lessen protocols where if you were vaccinated, you did have to self-isolate for a short period of time. That is being removed for New Zealand in the month of April. So that is exciting for us and obviously them because they feel that it's safe enough to allow travelers from all over the world to descend upon New Zealand. On April 17th, Australia will be welcoming cruise ships to their ports for the first time in over 2.5 years almost. So that's exciting because of the same reason. So Australia, New Zealand is a tremendous destination for all the reasons you and I know, having been there. I would tell anybody, if you're a little nervous about going somewhere internationally, the language barrier, the food, maybe the culture is a little bit not westernized for your liking just because you've never gone internationally, I would say Australia, New Zealand should be the first place you should go. No language barrier. Food's very similar, but it gives you an international taste of what the world can offer.
And then closer to home, we'll talk after the break, Ryan Hansen, about Alaska. There have been some changes, and of course, the prime cruising season going up to the Northland is almost upon us. When we continue with our travel talk with Ryan Hansen, Alaska and more, as we continue talking my favorite subject, we'll talk travel on Buckmaster right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now to visit a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson makes a great weekend getaway. Lots to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and some great places to stay as well. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. And speaking of travel planning, we continue now with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, the president and chief operating officer of Bonvoyage Travel, which will be presenting the travel showcase at the El Conquistador Tucson Hilton on Sunday, April the 3rd, beginning at 11 in the morning. Ryan, I was just checking out all of the vendors that you've got lined up for the travel show. Pretty exciting. And I'm also excited about the fact that you and I are going to be doing a session together, kind of kicking off the show at 11 a.m. Sunday the 3rd.
We love talking travel once a month, but when we can do it in person with your listeners and our clients, I think you and I love that even more, because the interaction that is available for questions and comments, and people can chime in with their own travels. And I think you and I have thrown this out there. If any of your listeners want to hear more about a specific destination, they need to go on your Facebook page and interact with you, Bill. I think that'd be a great place to start. And let us know, where do you want to hear about Bill's travels, my travels, or our expertise? And we can incorporate that into our travel trends talk. That will kick off at 11 a.m. It's a really our first session in our presentation schedule. But we've got over 30 partners coming, and it ranges, Bill, from cruise lines to land experiences, escorted vacations. We've got expedition experiences, African safaris. We've got Mexico all-inclusive opportunities. I'm doing a presentation on river cruising. I'm also going to be talking about one of your favorite places, Alaska.
Oh, yes, Alaska. And this is the prime season, really, coming up for Alaska. And it seems like it's getting back to more of a normal season shaping up. And I know the people in the ports in Alaska are very happy that the cruisers are going to be back. Do you have some details on what is the latest on summer cruising for Alaska, Ryan Hansen?
Yeah, Alaska is becoming very wide open, and one of the biggest reasons why is obviously the COVID protocols, but because Canada, and why does Canada have anything to do with it? Well, for reasons we don't have time to get into, all the cruise lines that depart out of Seattle to go on an Alaska Inside Passage cruise or all the way up to Anchorage do have to touch a Canadian port, and so if Canada is not accepting cruise lines, they can't cruise all the way to Canada. They got a one-time exemption that has expired from last fall, but it's wide open because Canada is opening that line up again. So Canada okays it starting in April, and that is a fantastic first cruise to Alaska. It is a seven-night Inside Passage round-trip Seattle, easy air out of Tucson. You're nonstop up there on Alaska. Spend the night in Seattle. We would recommend the night before you get on your cruise, take a part of a great downtown Seattle area, and then you get to cruise the Inside Passage through some great waters and unbelievable ports. Skagway, Anchorage is a little further up, so you won't get to that, but you'll hit Juneau and other stops on your way. It's a fantastic experience to get out of the heat. If you're thinking of just the cruise only, that's where to start. But I would recommend coming to my presentation on April 3rd, because I'm going to talk more about getting into the Great Land and going on the railway and getting up to Denali. And now you're seeing all that Alaska offers, not just from the cruise ship.
Oh, I love that. When you go up to Denali, we did that a couple of years ago and actually did something with the dog teams, you know, that they have up at Denali National Park. They put on a demonstration. I just enjoyed that so much, seeing
the dogs training. There's a couple cruise lines that have some things set up. And yeah. One of them is, like you're saying, where you get to see the fully trained bred dogs. There's another one where you get to go see the puppies that Ooh. Are in the initial training phase, and who doesn't want to go hang out with puppies on a cruise in Alaska to see where these wonderful dogs are going to become as dog sledders. But one other point about Alaska, Bill, I'd like to bring up is some really neat things that the cruise lines are trying to do, and one of them is Holland America, which is one of the foremost authorities in Alaska cruising. They're celebrating their 75th year of sailing to Alaska, and they've got some neat programs that are expansive opportunities to see Alaska up close. Some of the features are a deeper dive into the local culture, a lot of new things that are diving into Alaskan women and how they're working in the fields alongside a dominated male industry is now changing, and the culture and languages that come through the Alaskan people. You really dive in deeper. And isn't that what travel is about? It's not just stamping your passport. It's about understanding and getting a greater appreciation for people and the way they do things. It's different, but you need to understand the beauty and authenticity of it to be a more well-rounded person, we believe.
So Holland America and others quickly reacted then to that news about starting in April. I guess the you're able at Bon Voyage now to get somebody up there whenever they pretty much want to go this summer, right?
Yeah, the season starts in April. That's a little bit what we would call the shoulder season. You're not going to get the best wildlife experience. You may have a great price because it's not the most popular time. Typically, the best times to go to Alaska would be more June, July, August, but even into September can be a fantastic time. And the wildlife varies. The amount of sunlight varies. And the weather changes a bit from April all the way into the summer, and that's where our advisors can kind of help tailor make what do you want out of your Alaska cruise or cruise tour experience, and we can find what matches best to you versus you just going on a website and kind of playing, throwing darts. Well, that looks good. You don't know what you're going to hit. You're almost blindfolded in that situation. So we're here to help dive into Alaska.
Well, I know that will, and you gave me a great idea there, and I will be putting that up on my Facebook post, and I've got about 5,000 followers, and I will be promoting our event together, Ryan, about where do you want to go this summer, and I'm sure Alaska is going to be right up there as one of the prominent destinations. And I would think also people are still very much interested in the national parks and Yellowstone National Park, kind of the granddaddy of the national parks, Ryan Hansen. It's a big year at Yellowstone. It's the 150th anniversary of America's first national park.
Yeah, one of the positives of the last 2 years is domestic travel, you know, staying closer to home has taken off, and it's almost been a revitalization of traveling to the national parks. There was a segment of travelers that figured that out, but more people started to realize the beauty, the majesty of what Yellowstone and Yosemite and so many other national parks bring to the table. And we're happy to help you with that. You might think, well, I don't need help on a national park vacation. If you need us, we're here to walk you through, again, best times to travel, accommodations, how to get there, how to stay and enjoy it and maximize your experience. But also there's great beach destinations here this summer. As summer planning is in full force, we talked about airline tickets, but there's some great beaches in Florida, and there's some wonderful coastal Carolina opportunities to the Outer Banks that could be an exciting experience. There's a lot to do in the United States, so we talk, you and I, a lot about the world. Well, the world close to home is still pretty exciting if you haven't been out.
All right, bvtravel.com, all the information you need about travel this summer, and of course the upcoming travel showcase at the El Conquistador Tucson Hilton on April the 3rd. Thank you, Ryan Hansen.
Thanks, Bill. We'll see you on the 3rd.
All right. We'll take a break right here and actually say goodbye for the Buckmaster Show today. Thanks for joining us. Dave Ramsey's popular show on money is next.